I don't know why you are here today, but I am here for Thanksgiving. Would you say I'm late? Is there anybody here for Thanksgiving today? I didn't say the holiday. We should all be here for Thanksgiving. And it doesn't matter which Sunday, which Lord's Day we are speaking of. Today is not the national holiday that our fellow Americans have appointed once a year, but every Sunday is the Lord's Day, and it's been set up as a reminder for what was done for us. And every Sunday should be Thanksgiving for us. We should be grateful for where we find ourselves in our relationship with our Savior. We need to be thankful each Sunday and be reminded He arose. Hallelujah for that. Had He not arose, what would we have to be thankful for? Because it was prophesied that He would. And if He didn't, scriptures tell us, we are of all people most miserable if He didn't raise, if He didn't raise from the dead. But when you stop and think about it, every day should be a day of thanksgiving. When we get asked during the course of a week, there's always somebody each day that asks, how are you doing? It has become a common opening greeting, whether the person actually cares how you're doing or not. Our brother Larry George, I've quoted before that I witnessed him on many times as I worked with him for 4 years. That when somebody said that to him, he'd say, I'm better than most, worse than others. And there are those that will tell you that if you live in the United States of America, you are better off than some say 98% of the rest of the world's population. So we are better than most. Stop and think about it. In my opinion, if you live in the Midwest, you need to give thanks. You're in the breadbasket of the world, not just the United States. Our country feeds a big percentage of the people in the world. We are assembled this morning freely of our own will. Give thanks for that. You were able to make that choice without somebody else dictating to you what your choice would be. We have Bibles of the written word. Give thanks for that. We have a heated building in the middle of December that we are assembled in. Give thanks for that. I will never forget the time that Nick Herman got up here a few years back and he put up a picture on the screen of our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. They had just gone through a flood and I'm pretty sure the floor of their buildings are just dirt, but their building was flooded. And it was the Lord's Day. They didn't cancel services. They got their picture taken with all of them standing in 1 foot of water inside their building, and they were smiling. They were thankful. They were able to assemble in spite of the flood. And whatever point we find ourselves in our daily lives, there is good to be found. There is thankfulness that needs to be given, that we not be defeated by the one thing in our lives that is stressing us at that moment. But the blessings of life outweigh the challenges. None of you walked here that I know of. Be thankful for that. After the tremendous difficulties we had in our country last year with the public unrest, with bad decisions made by some people caused vandalism and riots, we still have law and order here. Be thankful for that. After what happened last year, I made a special effort that every time I seen a policeman in a convenience store or wherever, sometimes I walked up to them in their police car and I thanked them for doing their job. Because it's because of people like that doing their job that we are able to assemble here freely. And a lot of the other freedoms that we have are the result of somebody else's efforts. So when you get up in the morning, it doesn't matter if it's Thanksgiving Day in the USA, or if it's Sunday morning, or if it's any other day of the week. It's the day the Lord hath made for you. Every day can have something of thanksgiving that we need to smile about, to be grateful for. Today should be a day of thanksgiving. Tomorrow should be a day of thanksgiving. And the day after that, and the day after that. If you'd like, I'm going to turn to the 15th chapter of Luke. There's three stories there that I'd like to incorporate into this lesson this morning. And all three of these are parables that Christ was speaking, and they all deal with loss. And the first story is verse 4 through 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So this first story tells us about 99% of the sheep were there, were worth the shepherd. But that wasn't enough. There was concern about that one that was gone, that he would never come back without somebody's help. The second story speaks about an item that was lost, verses 8 through 10. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. A few will remember when we speak in parables. The definition of a parable is a physical story of life that gives a comparison to a godly meaning, a spiritual meaning. So keep this in mind as we go through these three stories. The third story is about what we call the prodigal son. And I'm not going to read all of it, but for time's sake. But we all know the story of how a father had two sons, and the youngest son rebelled and said, I want my inheritance now. And while he was still a young man, and he went out and squandered everything that he had been given and found himself desiring to eat the slop that he was feeding to somebody else's pigs because he was so hungry. And he realized, even my servants are, my father's servants are in better condition than I am. And so he decided to not go back as a son, but to beg his father to take him as a servant, that he might be able to have a better quality of life than what he had put himself in. He realized he had made a horrendous mistake. But the father, upon seeing him, rejoiced in such a fashion because the son that he thought was lost, that he would never see again, was back. And he rejoiced because that which he thought was lost is now returned. Each one of us travel a different road in life, and there are certain roads we go down that we don't like. They are difficult. And every one of us at some point in life have to deal with loss or tragedy, and it strains us to the utmost to go through those times. These three stories that are in this chapter, Christ meant to use to teach the people for their spiritual benefit, that they might see the relationship there in these three stories, and that when loss occurs, your mind is no longer on the things that are present, but the thing that is at risk of being lost. And it can consume you. And most of you all are aware of what Joyce has been through the last 2 years. The last 2 years, she lost her physical health twice. And in the process of losing her physical health, she also lost her mind. She wasn't Joyce. And the first time this happened, it was prompted because of low sodium and not being able to sleep. And the ability, she literally, not being able to sleep, made her lose her mind. And this past year, she was committed to a lockdown psych ward for 2 weeks. With people that were in there for a different reason than she was, which made it very difficult for her. It has taken time to figure out the meds and to get the sleep pattern back and the anxiety under control that nearly took her life. But I'm ready to declare that we've got down the road after 2 years of agony, I declare that my wife is back. She can smile again. And anybody that knew my wife before she went through this period of time knows what a wonderful quality that was of her, of her smile. And her disposition was genuine loving. And these problems took that away from her. So I say hallelujah, praise the Lord. I watched my dad go through dementia. I watched Joyce's mom die from dementia. And I was certain that was the road that Joyce was on. She had what's called delirium, which mimics dementia, but it's being caused by something else that's wrong in the body. And thank God the doctors figured out what was wrong. And the Lord brought her back to me. I thought she was gone mentally. She almost went physically. She went code blue in the hospital, and the Lord delivered her from both. Praise God. So the reason I bring up this chapter 15 in Luke about people that have something and they lose something, your mind is totally centered on what's at risk, what's gone. And that's where I've been the entire year. I had to take myself off the program because I was too unstable. So if I have not acted properly to you in the law, I apologize for that. But when we meet our challenges in life, some of us meet it more gracefully than others. It is a time of year where many are thinking, what am I going to get? And people can get their focus entirely upon that. What am I going to get? What am I about to get? I'm at the point in my life where I am not thinking of what I'm going to get. But I've been thinking about what I almost lost. I'm thinking about what I just got back. I got my wife back. I don't want anything else. I don't want any more stuff. If I never get another present the rest of my life, I won't care. I want to be rid of 2020 and 2021 and start over 2022. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I haven't been able to focus on that for quite a while. I'm hoping I can get back to that. As the comparison that Christ made of the man with 100 sheep, I had more than 99 things that were good still present in my life. But when my wife was ill, I didn't think about those. Kelly and his family are in that same position now that Joyce and I was earlier this year, and they desperately need our help. You have an opportunity. Think about what we can do. They are family to us. We hurt because they are not whole right now. After 3.5 years of separation caused by Joyce and I both having surgeries and health problems over the last 3.5 years, we borrowed Lowell's hospital bed. Joyce was in it 3 months, and then I was in it 3 months. And because of her sleeping disorders, she has not had a normal life for 3.5 years, and she's now back in her old bedroom. And things are being coming back to what normal used to be. And one of my favorite moments now, my alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, and one of the things that I appreciate the most now is being able to wake up and hear my wife sleeping. Because for 2 years, when I woke up, oftentimes she was laying there wide awake because she couldn't sleep. And I never realized what a wonderful gift, what a wonderful blessing it was to be able to sleep. I don't need stuff. Stuff does not bring sustained happiness. Sharing your love for others does. I'd like to give you an example. When Valentine's Day comes around, men aren't really good at picking out something that the wife necessarily is thrilled about. And men think about stuff. They think about buying their wife chocolates or flowers. Maybe they remember to take her to dinner or buy her jewelry. All these things are stuff. I'd suggest that maybe you do what I tried 1 year. I don't know how it came to me, because I'm one of the top team players on the men's team of not doing things in a good fashion for birthdays or Valentine's Day or anything else. But 1 year I got it right. And I went to the printer that I get my business cards from, and I wrote out a deal my wife. And we used to live down the hill from Mom and Dad, and my dad always called Joyce, "Hello, sunshine." And if you ever knew Joyce's mom, she called her Joycey. It was still her little girl. So, and her dad always called her his favorite daughter. She was the only daughter. And so I wrote up this little, I don't know what you call it, a poem or what, but it's worded this way. My father called you sunshine. Your mother called you Joycey. Your father calls you his favorite daughter. And your sons call you for help. As in Proverbs 31:28, your children rise up and call you blessed. Your price is above rubies as a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:10, those who know you call you a hardworking, dedicated, loving woman. But only I get to call you my wife, the love of my life. So men, don't think stuff is necessarily what your wife needs, wants. Show her that you love her. I'm here today to show my love and my deepest gratitude that the Father has given me the written word and gave me the directions on how to please him, beginning with the Lord's Supper to remind me of his gift to me on the Lord's Day. I say thank you. But I'm also here today to say thank you, Lord, for answered prayers, for restoring both my wife's physical health and mental health. And I'd like to thank all of you for the support that you've given me during that difficult time. And now we have a new opportunity among our church family to help. 25 years ago, I was attending church in Florida. You know, all Florida is surrounded by the ocean. And the bulletin down there, everybody's thoughts are about collecting seashells when they're on the beach. And their bulletin read this way: "This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well, but I am not the shell." My body, Joyce's body, has been reminding us that we're growing old. But our body is just the shell. We will return to the Father who made us. Will it just be the shell? Or will we return our spirit that was given to us and he'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? If we can be of assistance to you now, we're going to stand and have an invitation song that we offer to you. Be right with your Lord.